Morning, church.
Morning.
How many of you believe in miracle? Last night was a miracle, right? A lot of Cantonese brothers and sisters, they came this morning with renewed excitement for God. I'm just joking, okay? Yeah, our God is bigger than football. He is highly exalted. Amen? Yeah, He is supreme. Today, the scripture said that He is supreme over all authority, over all power. And this is the God that we worship. Hallelujah. So today, I'm going to talk about a topic called, Can a Christian Sue? You said, why you pick this topic? Because I've been preaching in Cantonese, going through 1 Corinthians. So this is a quite interesting topic. Let's dive into God's Word, see what God is saying regarding this topic. Let's all stand and reread 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 to 11. 1, 2, 3. If any of you has a dispute with another, do you dare to take it before the ungodly for judgment? Instead of before the Lord's people? Or do you not know that the Lord's people will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life? Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, do you ask for a ruling from those whose way of life is scorned in the church? I say this to shame you. Is it possible that there's nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers? But instead, one brother takes another to court, and this in front of unbelievers. The very fact that you have lawsuit among you means you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourself cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers and sisters. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkard, nor slanderers, nor swine, will inherit the kingdom of God. And this is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much today that we can gather in your name and worship you. So Lord, you are above all. You are the God of the universe. You are exalted highly above every power and principality of this world. So, Father, we worship you. May your Holy Spirit speak to us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. We live in a sue-happy society. Our mainstream culture put a lot of emphasis on individual rights. If my right is violated, I take legal actions. United States is a litigation-happy society in which people are just waiting for opportunity to sue one another. According to some statistics and study, there were about 1.3 million lawyers in U.S. in year 2020, almost one in 300 people. And there were about 40 million lawsuits filed in that year as well. A lot of this kind of lawsuits were filed because of the greed of the so-called victims and the lawyer trying to take advantage of the legal system. And one of the most famous lawsuits was the McDonald's coffee lawsuit. How many are aware of this lawsuit? This is a pretty old lawsuit, like 1992. There was an old lady, 79 years old. He bought a cup of coffee from McDonald's through the drive-through window. And she placed the coffee in between her legs, and she's trying to open the lid and add sugar into it. Unfortunately, she spilled all over her legs, and suffer a third-degree burn. And later on, she needed a skin graft surgery. Of course, she's Sue McDonald, right? Do you know how much she received as compensation? Anyone? Oh, you guys are pretty up to $2.9 million. Brother and sister, this is 30 years ago, okay? It's a large sum of money. Even for today, it's still pretty good, right? People could not believe the verdict, and it caused a media storm after the verdict was announced. Many people point finger at her and say, hey, she is a greedy person. And moreover, it was not entirely McDonald's fault as well, right? She poured coffee on herself. McDonald's does not pour coffee on her. So she became the meme of the 90s and the ridicule of a lot of talk show hosts. This case attracted a lot of local as well as international attention. However, I researched a little bit. Actually, the real story is not as portrayed. This woman actually was not a greedy person. The original lawsuit she filed only requests $20,000 for medical bills. And she also requests McDonald's to lower the coffee temperature. You know how much McDonald's was willing to pay her? $800. So the case keep in the court, and eventually all the jury found that McDonald to be negligent. And there were already 700 similar cases in which customers were burned by the hot coffee. How many of you like McDonald coffee? Do you have senior discount? Oh, not yet, huh? Okay, I do, but I, okay. So be very careful, okay? I read that the coffee is like 180 to 190 degree. So it's pretty hot, okay? Be careful, right? This case becomes an instant classic of unnecessary and greedy lawsuit in America. In 2020, American companies spent about $23 billion in handling lawsuits. In this happy, Sue happy society, we can bring anything, anyone to court. Bodily injury resulted because of car accidents. Racial, gender, age discrimination, slandering, sexual harassment, privacy, copyright infringement, malpractice. It's estimated that 34% of doctors have been sued for malpractice. If you get tripped or fall because of the wet floor, you can sue, right? Personal property litigation, and even lawsuit against police cost $300 million in 2020. The church in Corinth has a litigation problem. The divisive spirit within the church was so intense that some brother and sister took other brother and sister to court to settle the differences. And actually, the dispute between the party usually involved very minor issue or trivial matters. Maybe there were some doctrinal disputes, and during the argument, people get very offensive and they lost the temper and start slandering one another. Perhaps some of them went into joint business together and only find themselves being taken advantage of. Promise were not kept. Maybe some of them purchased some item from other people and found that they themselves being cheated. Maybe there's even divorces in the church in which the husband and wife took the other party to court. Why did it happen in the church, you may ask? Actually, the city of Corinth was a litigation-happy society, just like America. Litigation was part of everyday life. As a matter of fact, they had a very tedious and deliberate legal system to solve the dispute between two parties. When a dispute arose, the party involved first would try to resolve through a private arbitration. Each party would have a private arbitrator, and there would be a third person act as a neutral person, try to resolve the case. If it failed, it would go into public arbitration. The case would be heard in a 40-member court, and each party would be assigned a public arbitrator, try to resolve the case. If it still failed, the case will be moved to a jury court. Do you know how many jurors in the jury court at that time? It consists of a few hundred to a few thousands jurors. Can you imagine how tedious the deliberation process is? Each citizen over 30 years has to serve as juror, just like America, right? As a result, the people of Corinth are very used to litigations. They were either being sued or they are suing someone. And all these non-believers, after they had become Christians, they brought the same practice into the church. That's why when Paul knew that there's a lot of litigation between the members in the church, he was very sad. As a matter of fact, this kind of thing still happens in the churches today. So what is the Christian view on litigation? Can a Christian sue one another? Okay, let's do a survey, okay? Everyone has to raise your hand one time, okay? How many of you think that Christian can sue? Okay, I deliberately phrased the question like that. How many think that Christian can sue?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, how many think that Christians should not sue? No one. So you like to bring lawsuit, huh? The answer is, it depends. When we read a study a passage, it's critical to understand the context, okay? What Paul in this context is not talking about lawsuit involving criminal offenses. Let's say if a so-called Christian, he committed criminal offenses, he must be brought to justice, right? So Elder Tian is not here. I was trying to pick on him today. He prosecute people because they have done something wrong, right? So lawsuit under the circumstances, I think is fine. Paul is not talking about lawsuit involving non-believer outside of the church. If Christians are being mistreated and their rights are violated by non-believer outside of the church, lawsuit against them are allowed. Jesus even said, in our dealing with people of the world, we have to be shrewd as snakes, but as innocent as doves. If we keep silent, we will be exploited by the wolves of the world. Even Apostle Paul himself also fought for his right in the court. When the Jews tried to kill him and brought wrongful charges against him, he used his right as a Roman citizen to appeal to who? Caesar, right? But what Paul is talking about here in this context is that disputes among believers within the church should be resolved within the church. We should not take one another to court. So, tell the brother next to you or sister next to you, I will not sue you. Okay, so say it. I want you to say it with conviction. I will not sue you, brother. And then you can also say, please don't sue me either. Why? Why Christians should not take one another to court? Paul gives us a few reasons and rationale. Number one, the worldly standard is different from God's standard. Verses 1, he said, if anyone of you has a dispute with another, do you dare to take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the Lord's people? When Paul heard about there's a lot of disputes and grievances and litigations within the church, he was grieved by their actions. Church is supposed to be a loving family. How could church members be so cruel, so cold, and take one another to court? The phrase, do you not know, appear like 4 and 5 times. Paul is saying that, do you not know? This is wrong. Actually, they did know. However, everyone insists on their own rights and their own welfare, and forgot that they are one family. Paul described the courts of the world as ungodly. It does not mean that non-Christian judges are bad people, and you will not receive a fair trial outside. It means that they are non-believers. They will use the worldly standard to judge, a standard that is different from God's highest standard. Brother and sister, the laws of the land of this world are human-based. God's standards are based on His words. It is a much higher standard. And we are subject to a higher standard. Christians are required to make judgments that are based on the words of God. Secondly, Paul said that you should not take one another to court, because one day you will judge the world and to judge angels. Verses 2 said, or do you not know that the Lord's people will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Every time when we read scripture like this, we scratch our heads, don't we? We don't quite believe it either, don't we? We don't have much conviction. Who am I, really? Me judging the world, really? Yes, you. Then you. Yes, Linda, you. Okay, you don't have much conviction. You have to tell the one next to you, yes, you're going to judge the world one day. Tell them. When Jesus returned in his glory and established his millennial reign on earth, all those who belong to him will reign with him. Luke chapter 22, Jesus said, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. This is what Jesus said. In the book of Revelation, chapter 20, John saw thrones on which there were seated those who had given authority to judge. Brother and sister, when Christ returned and established his righteous reign on earth, we are to reign and to rule with him. Amen? And this is a glorious promise for those who faithfully follow and to serve him. Secondly, Paul said that we will judge the angel one day. We all know that when Lucifer rebelled against God, he was expelled from heaven. He pulled down with him 1/3 of the heavenly angelic being to the earth. And these fallen angels are the demons of this world, and they will one day be judged as well. 2 Peter chapter 2 said that, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment. God will not judge the fallen angel himself, but he reserved this privilege and right for us to judge one day. Brother and sister, we often underestimate the authority and power we have in Christ. If we are intimate with our God, if we have the right relationship with him, we do have authority and power over spiritual beings. In his name, we can cast out demons. In his name, we can bind the power of the evil spirit on people. In his name, we can set the captives free from the bondage of darkness. We don't need to wait until the future. We can exercise authority now. That's why in verses 5, Paul said, I say this to shame you. Is it possible that there's nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers? Thirdly, Paul said that you should not take one another to court because it adversely affects our testimony to the world. Verses 6, Paul says that, but instead, one brother take another to court, and this in front of unbelievers. In verses 1, Paul used the word ungodly, but here he used the word unbelievers. He's talking about the effect of lawsuit between Christians on unbelievers. Brother and sister, Jesus reminds us that we give testimony to the world. Our good behavior, our good deeds will be a good testimony to the world. When non-believers see us Christian, are just like them, for our own rights and for our own benefit, we take one another to court. What kind of testimony is this to the world? It will only give reason for the non-believer to laugh at us. It will give them an opportunity to insult the name of Jesus, and it will give ground for Satan to attack the church. Satan is actually very happy when he sees that the church is filled with quarrel, infighting, even lawsuit against one another. There was a mega church in the Washington, D.C. area, pastored by a very famous pastor. If I name his name, probably you have heard about him. He's very passionate in his preaching, and he's very passionate about mission as well. So I also read his book and listened to his sermon. Last year, summer 2021, five church members sued this pastor and the church over new elders' nomination and confirmation. They claimed that the church was trying to rubber stamp these new elders to further the pastor liberal agenda of social justice. They accused the pastor of being woke. Do you know what that means? Okay, I don't know. Okay, you make it. Being woke, okay? And leading the church in the wrong path. The pastor retaliated by saying that, oh, there was a force outside and inside the church tried to divide the family. And they were spreading rumors and lies to divide the congregation over the elder election. So the dispute ended up in court, and it is still an ongoing lawsuit. Praise the Lord, SJCC is not like this. I'm glad our elder board is very united, right? Right, Elder Mark? This is basically a power struggle that it ends up in court and is not a very good testimony to the world. Paul said that you should not take one another to court because Jesus commands us to love one another. Verses 7 actually is the key verse for the entire passage. The very fact that you have lost it among you means you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? And why not rather be cheated? Paul is sad to see there were so many lawsuits among the church members. He rebuked them sternly. He said, no matter, I don't care who is at fault. I don't really care who started this lawsuit. I don't even care who may win the lawsuit. But the fact that there is a lawsuit among you, you have been completely defeated. And you both have lost. Because you do not honor Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Because you do not glorify the name of Jesus among non-believers. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? I think this is the key of this passage. And this is so important in our interpersonal relationship, isn't it? Key to living in peace with others in a community. For the sake of the name of Jesus and for his glory, I would rather be wrong and rather be cheated. It means that I have already made up my mind. I'm willing to give up my rights for the sake of Jesus and for the unity of the community. The Bible is full of stories of godly people who rather be wronged, rather be cheated to maintain peace and unity in the family. We just read Abraham and Lot. Remember him? The story goes that they both have large number of flocks, and the land could not support them while they stay together, and quarrels start between their servants. In Genesis chapter 13, Abraham said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, and between your servants and my servants, because we are close relatives. It's not the whole land before you. Let's part company. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. And if you go to the left, I'll go to the right." Abraham has every right to choose the land first because he has seniority in the family, right? But he forsook his right and let Lot choose first because he wanted to maintain peace and harmony in the family. So Lot looked at the plain of Jordan, was well-watered, very fertile. Of course, he picked the best, so-called best and fertile land of the plain of Jordan. And he pitched his tent close to where? Sodom And you know what happened to the city of Sodom later on, right? Abraham gave up his right and rather be wrong because of his big heart. God blessed him tremendously. Genesis 13, verses 14, God said to Abraham, look around from where you are to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. All the land that you see, I will give it to you and your offspring together. God blessed him more than he can imagine. Jesus said in the Beatitude, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Brother and sister, being meek does not mean that you are pushover. Being meek does not mean that you are soft-spoken. Being meek does not mean that you are indecisive. As a matter of fact, a meek person is one who is filled with power, but he is willing to submit under the control of the Holy Spirit. He is not self-seeking. He does not insist on his own right. He does not fight for himself, knowing that everything is from God. Two prayer meetings ago, I asked brother and sister, which beatitude you want to be blessed this year, in the new year? A lot of people say that I want to be meek. I said, why? Because I want to inherit land. Because land is very expensive in California. Bless your brother and sister next to you, right? You will be a rich landlord. Bless him or her, please. Yes, you will be a rich landlord. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, said, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slap you on the right cheek, what do? Slap him back. No. Turn to the other side and let him slap. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. It should not be a problem as our closet is full of clothes this day, right? If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Treat it as a training for your 10K race. Give to the one who asks you and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. This is the principles of rather being wrong and cheated, being lived out in our daily life. We are very afraid to be cheated or being taken advantage of, right? We are smart people. We know our numbers. When we make a purchase, we always negotiate price. How many of you negotiate price when you make a purchase? How many of you never negotiate price when you make a purchase? In Asia, we always negotiate price, okay? 2 years ago, our brother Mark Tran took us to Vietnam market.
That's the story.
We had our strategy down even before we walk into the market. Mark said, if the owner do this, we do this. If he offer this, we're going to counter offer this, right? So Mark already has the strategy down before we even walk in. We're definitely trying to lowball him or her and make sure that he doesn't make any profit. I buy you lunch this time. Next time it's your turn. Household chore between husband and wife. I cleaned the toilet this week. Next week it's your turn. Or maybe some husband has to clean toilet all the time. Brother and sister, the Bible said, why not rather be wrong? And why not rather be cheated? Why not clean the toilet every week? Right, Mark? I know you're a good husband. Brother and sister, we are held to a different standard and different value system. The world tells you to grab as much as you can, make as much money as you can. God tells you to store your treasure in heaven. The world tells you to love the ones who love you, but hate your enemy. God tells us to love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be called the children of the Heavenly Father. The world tells us to fight for your own rights, sue and get back what you deserve. God tells us to be meek and you shall inherit the land. We set our eyes on things that are eternal and things that cannot be taken away. Jesus gave us a new commandment in John 13, said, a new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Do you love the brother and sister sitting next to you? Jesus wants you to love him or her as much as he loves you. Wow. He does not retaliate against us for our offenses, but he chose to absorb all the pain and suffering for our sins on the cross. He not only bore our sins and on the cross, but he also forgives us. He does not take us to the God's highest court and demand that everything be repaid. Everything that we owe him needs to be repaid. This love is so impossible. Yet this is what God wants us to do. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Brother and sister, we exalt Christ not by singing songs. Only, okay? It's only one way. We exalt Christ when we love one another. And this is the best testimony to the world. That means we would like to give sacrificially. We forgive one another. We bear and forbear one another. Love is seeking the welfare of others. Let's say a hypothetical case, okay? If a brother in Christ borrowed a large sum of money from you, and he promised to pay you back by a certain day. Unfortunately, the day come and go, and he's still not repaying your money. What should you do? Remind him, okay? So this is one of the more difficult things to ask, right? According to Family Feud, this is a very difficult question to ask a friend to repay money. What if you remind him and he still does not repay? What do you do? Find an elder, right? To be the middleman. Maybe Elder Cliff, right? He's kind and generous. He may repay the debt for that guy. So Elder Cliff will gather this party together and try to mediate the dispute. What if he still does not repay? Pastor Allen doesn't do this kind of thing. According to this passage, you should forgive the debt. Rather be wronged and rather be cheated. Finally, Paul is reminding the Corinthian Christians that you are now have a new position in Christ. Verses 9 and 10 said, or do you not know that wrongdoer will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolater or adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkard, nor slanderer will inherit the kingdom of God. Paul reminded the believers that you were once all of that. But now you are different. You were washed by the blood of Jesus. You were sanctified and set apart for God and for his kingdom. And you have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by his Holy Spirit. You are a new creation in Christ. Ephesians 4, verses 22 to 24. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desire, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul reminds us that we need to put off our old self, which is corrupted, but put on the new self, created in the image of God, through of his righteousness and holiness. Brother and sister, we belong to God's kingdom. One day we will inherit his kingdom. Our Father is more than willing to give us his kingdom, and we have a rich inheritance. It's okay to be wronged and taken advantage of sometimes. It's okay to be cheated sometimes. God will bless you beyond measure when you are willing to do so. Let us stand and pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Jesus, you said that as you have loved us, we need to love one another in that kind of love. So, Father, today I pray for our brother and sister, even if there's dispute among us. Father, we would rather be wronged. We would rather be cheated so that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be lifted up high. So, Father, bless us to truly love one another with your love so that we will be a great testimony to the world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. We belong to a different kingdom. We're in this world, but not of this world. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. And I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me. Because you died and you rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. And I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me. Because you died and rose again. Amazing love. I'm forgiven. And I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. And I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and my
God, that's our heart's desire, is to honor you with our lives, with our lips, our minds, with all that we are. And we know that we can only do that because of your Spirit in us, because of the life that you have given us through your Son, Jesus. And so, Lord, we just thank you for the reminder today that you've called us to live in a different way. Root us in the way of Jesus, not just today, not just in this service, but as we go from here this week. Lord, we pray together as a church that your kingdom would come and your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray that as a prayer for today in our own hearts, our own lives, our own families. We love you, Jesus, and we pray all this in your name. Amen. Go in peace, church.